In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As is often the case when we read the gospel, since it is about the salvation of mankind, and mankind is a mix of good and evil until he becomes perfected, today we have both great and terrible things. And since we proclaim the gospel, which is the good news, let's go with the good news first. And then the bad news. The good news is that St. Paul says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth nor any other thing, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Another beautiful thing is that a man who had been possessed by demons, who was living a subhuman life, was delivered of them and was so healed that he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Then there are terrible things today. How demons torment people and by extension passions. And also how people can be so blind to the goodness of God. Terrible things. Let's understand a little bit about this healing of the man of the demons and what demons do so that we can understand the terrible things and we can understand that some of these terrible things, although we might not consider ourselves to be demon-possessed, and indeed we are not, they apply to us. Remember, if you read the gospel and only get theological facts out of it, you might as well read the phone book. You read the gospel for your soul to be touched, for you to have consolation and also sometimes rebuke and be equipped to live the Christian life to perfection. The gospel should shake you more than anything else in life. When you read the gospel, the word should thunder in your heart and resonate with you. And every occurrence in the gospel, you should be able to find similarities and dissimilarities with yourself. Sometimes similarities that are bad, and then you know that you have things to work upon. Sometimes dissimilarities where you should thank God. And so let's talk about this demons. These demons, these legion of demons. The Lord goes into a land of the Galilees, in Galilee of the Gentiles. And in that land, there were Jews living, many Jews, but some of them, because they were influenced by the pagan culture around them, they did things that they shouldn't be doing. We saw that in the Old Testament many times. And so it happens to this day that people, when they're under the influence around others and taking in their ideas and not holy ideas, they don't live the right way. We're seeing that now. We're seeing a culture, we're in the Orthodox Church right now, by the way, where people who are listening to the world are changing their theology and expecting their priests to change their theology with them. So these people, the Jews that were raising pigs, were breaking the law. And this man was possessed of demons for a long time, so much that he didn't wear any clothing. Clothing in Scripture is always a sign of righteousness. So this man was not righteous, but not only that, but that he was poor and naked. He was without a shield. He was without the protection of God, or the full protection of God. No one is ever completely without the protection of God. So he was living in the tombs and he was hurting himself and he was so fierce that they chained him up, but he'd break the chains. He was living more like an animal, a beast, than a man. And so when the Lord saw him, he wanted the demons to go out, and the demons cried out and said, "Don't torment us yet." So the Lord used this as a exercise in a teaching moment and said, "What is your name?" And they said, "Legion," to show that there are many demons that can inhabit a man. And by extension, for those of us who say, "Oh, well, we're not demon-possessed, this doesn't apply to us." If you think that, then you don't know how to read the scripture. Because there are many passions that inhabit a man. They are legion. And so, when these demons were cast out, they went into the swine, and they were too much for the swine. They were so evil, they confused the swine so much that the swine were terrified and ran down the cliff. This was not the demons' intention. And they all perished, demons and swine. And so this man was delivered from the curse of this legion of demons. And among the most beautiful words in Scripture are when it says, "Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind." And then it says they were afraid. That's a terrible part. Because they shouldn't have been afraid. They should have been full of joy. A fear of God, yes, but their fear was not fear of God like we should have fear, that we fear sinning against our Lord because he loves us so. Their fear was because their sin had been exposed and they didn't want to be around the light because they preferred the darkness like cockroaches. Let's just think a moment. This man being in his right mind. What a wonderful thing. To no longer be tormented by the demons. To be able to actually hear his own thoughts. To be able to make a coherent sentence. To be able to understand about holiness when he sat in the presence of Jesus and felt his warmth and his light. It's a great and a wonderful miracle. When I read that, I always pray, "God, help me to be in my right mind." Now, I don't think I'm in my right mind, not completely. I don't think you're in your right mind either. Because to be in the right mind completely is to be perfected, to have no passions, no hatred, no anger, no irritability, no ambition for things that we should not be concerned about, no worldliness, no laziness, no boredom, need for worldly entertainments, no lust, nothing that unsettles us, nothing that disturbs our peace, nothing that piques our pride. That is to be in the right mind. And this man was in his right mind. Now, he would have his moments, I'm sure, because he's a human being, but he did follow the Lord. And so, this beginning for him would be enough for him to save his soul. We should desire greatly to be in our right mind. You have to understand what is the wrong mind in order to pursue the right mind. I think in this day, probably in every day, to be honest with you, so many people are very sort of legalistic about Christianity. I go to church, I fast at least before I have communion, things like that. They don't understand that Satan is a roaring and ravenous lion trying to devour them, and that their own weaknesses make them prey, their own passions and sins. You should feel that you're not in your right mind, not completely. And you should desire it with all of your heart. Now, St. Paul speaks about becoming a new creature, and that's how we begin to become in our right mind. Because an old creature, prior to regeneration, prior to baptism, can never achieve a completely right mind. But after baptism, after God's grace washes upon us, we are changed. We look the same, we still have the same sins, but we have power now to become in our right mind. And this is truly a beautiful and wonderful thing. We must understand how terrible life is without God to pursue life with God. The reason why there's such a good description of these demons is not only because Dr. Luke, the apostle, was such a good writer and good at details, but because the Holy Spirit wanted to show us how terrible life is when we are not in our right mind. And as I said before, if you do not see similarities with your own life, then you do not know how to read the scripture yet. Because the things that this man endured when he was full of the legion are similar, not identical, glory be to God, to the things that we endure. He wore no clothes. Sometimes we put God far from us, just as God was far from him, because of our sins. He didn't abide in a house, but in the tombs. Oftentimes our heart is not with God, but it is out in the wasteland. So we're a lot like this man. And we should, when we hear that he was in his right mind, feel such longing in our soul to be like him, to be delivered of our passions, that it should be energy for us. And God will take that desire and cause us, with our struggles, to become in our right mind. Truly, this is good news. Now, I must mention one other thing. Usually I mention this as the focus of this story, but it's more of a sidebar now. The people of the Gadarenes told the Lord to leave. Why did they do this? Well, they were keeping pigs and they were afraid because of his judgment upon them. And they wanted to get back to business and have things be normal and not have all this hubbub and these things that frightened them. But the reason behind all those reasons is their prelest, their pride. Prelest, we're going to talk about prelest actually in the adult school today. Prelest is basically pride with blindness and ignorance and delusion. These people were delusional. They thought they could live a life against the commandments and it would be a good life. And that can't be done. And so they rejected the light that was among them. My Christian life, really from the beginning, but much more so now that I've understood more over the course of the years, has been trying to be rid of my ignorance, my blindness, to see things as they really are. Of course, my mentor and protector was on a rock 1,000 days and 1,000 nights, and his prayer was, O Lord, enlighten my darkness. A holy man who said he had darkness. So we should feel the darkness. But not just to feel it and to lament over it. That's mental illness. We should feel it, and then we should see the light. Now, the light is not completely illuminating us yet, but it's present, and we should walk towards that light, crawl towards the light. Whatever state you're in, move towards the light, and God will help you, and you'll no longer be blind, and you'll no longer be in your wrong mind. You'll no longer have the legion of passions and all the things that disquiet the soul. You'll just have peace in your heart at the feet of Jesus. That's truly good news. May God help you to pursue this good news. You got to understand a little bit about the bad news in order to pursue the good. For you to understand that there is darkness in you. There are things that are wrong-headed in you. But God will deliver you. All you need to do is pursue him. Struggle a little bit. It's not very long to struggle. And God will help you to be in your right mind. Now, isn't that something worth struggling for? May God make it so for us. Amen.